Hi everybody, Barry here, turning the page again for another podcast. Years and years ago, I visited the ancient ruins of Olympia in Greece. And I distinctly remember walking into the big, not a Colosseum, but it's where all the athletes back in those days used to run. And my kids lined up on the starting block, and we got pictures of them on the starting block with their athletes from ages ago used to run and off they'd run. But the tour guide said something really interesting, and that was that at the when the athletes walked through into the stadium, alongside the gates that were there, were chiseled into stone the names of people or contestants who had cheated. Or they've done, cheated in their race or in their event. And also alongside the name was the name of the town that they came from. And it was a very simple and very clear message that if you cheat here, you're going to be shamed and have guilt on you and your town forever. It's chiseled in stone as such. And that you'd have a reputation. And what would it be like to have all your crimes, all your sin, etched into stone for all the world to see? I think it'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Who would be your friend when everything about you was exposed and known? Maybe only someone who has experienced the same level of humiliation and exposure. You know, there's some events in my life that I would like to forget. I'm sure you have some as well. And things that people have done to me, and also things I've done to others. You know, like I seem to be able to forget my shopping list, where I put my keys, and what I've for dinner last week, but it's harder, much, much, much harder to forget what seems to have been etched into my heart. And those etchings have seemingly formed and shaped my life from a very, very early age. The bumps and the bruises have pushed me this way and that. And I found that if you talk to anyone at all, for long enough and at a deep level, you soon discover how early life events have forged like deep and long-lasting conclusions about how life is. And it takes a lot of time to rewire some of those early childhood conclusions. It takes, a lot of time, but it's over the top, generous, and grace-filled times. But all of those events, good and bad, must be stored up, I believe, in some cosmically vast databank somewhere. You know, matter doesn't simply disappear. And I wonder if God forgets any of it. Does God forget? That's the title of this particular post. Does God forget? You see, I don't believe God forgets anything. That might frighten you because you've had experiences where people have dragged up past events to use as some sort of evidence against you, and said you'd much rather those events to be forgotten and done away with. But what if God recorded everything? The good, the bad, the struggles, the triumphs, and the simply plain boring stuff of life of what you had for breakfast or what you had for dinner last week. What if all of it was recorded without any judgment of right or wrong? It's simply there as a recorded event. Oh yes, and it's not just your stuff, it's everybody's stuff. Everyone's got stuff. And perhaps then, and you can see the whole entire story of everything, and I mean everything. Now, we in our humanness, we have, I believe, like a bias towards the negative. We have a Velcro tenacity to hold on to the bad and a Teflon slipperiness to the good. Rick Hansen says that the brain is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive. And this shades our implicit memory, your underlying expectations, beliefs, action strategies, and mood in an increasingly negative direction. I would suggest that I think for many of us deep down, we think God has a similar mindset basis to ourselves, that God holds on to our list of sins and is ready to throw it all back in our faces whilst negating any good. And this progresses on to the view of God being like that God is checking a list to see who's been naughty or nice because Santa God is coming to town. You better watch out. Well, that really sinks into a lot of people's thinking about what God is like. One of the earliest writing tools we had as humans was slate, and it's a type of stone. And in 18th, 19th century schools, slate was used a lot for blackboards and individual writing slates, for which slate or chalk pencils were used, and you could scribe onto the slate, and then you could wipe it off, and we get the phrase to wipe the slate clean, which means basically to wipe away all the old stuff and to start anew. In fact, here in New Zealand, we have the Clean Slate Scheme as part of our legal system. And if you want to read about that, there's a link in the show notes. I believe God has an even better scheme. God says this: I am He who wipes the slate clean and erases your wrongdoing. I will not call to mind your sins anymore. Isaiah 43:25. Other versions of the Bible put it differently. Yes, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. Or, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Look, God chooses not to drag up the past and to hold it up against you. God is capable, oh yes, God is capable of regurgitating all the muck and mess of your life. But God, because God is love, God has a reputation of love to be kept up as such and chooses, that's an important word, chooses not to remember. And a choosing not to remember is vastly different from a forgetting, which is a very human thing to do. Look, why do we keep on holding on to hurts? Why do we find it so hard to forgive ourselves and others? I think these hurts can become like little thorns digging into the psyche, poking and prodding and causing us pain. And these little thorns grow into giant splinters, digging into every area of our life. And we compensate by avoiding certain topics or people because we know that will set the whole firewood pile ablaze and burn up everything and everyone around us. But we hold on to it because someone has to pay. We can't let them go because we believe someone has to pay and it's a debt and debts have to be paid. We are the bookkeeper and everything is recorded for future reference in a court of law where we are judge, jury, and executioner. Handing over of the pain and the memory to God is a risky business because, well, you never know what God might do with it. God may well not do what you think God should do. It's a process too. The brain wants us to keep going back to the old and familiar, but with grace-filled prayer, it slowly changes and lets its grip slip away. God knows all, holds all, and is full of justice, mercy, and grace. Can you hand over those memories into the safe and all-knowing hands of God? God forgives and chooses not to remember. Can we do the same? Can we give over to God a memory that haunts and holds us tight? To say I'll never forgive is to say I'll never be free. What takes more energy to maintain? A clenched fist or an open palm? Can we trust God to clean us from the things that hold us back? And it says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Christ died to wash away our sins. Here's some quotes. Acceptance is not our mode nearly as much as aggression, resistance, fight, or flight. None of them achieve the deep and lasting results of true acceptance and peaceful surrender. Richard Rohr. Justice is getting what is deserved. Mercy is not getting what is deserved. Grace is getting what is not deserved. Daryl Johnson. Forgiveness involves a willingness to release an offending party from all requirement to experience the just consequences of his or her wrongdoing. Advice to forget an offence in the sense in which God forgets our sin does not address the problem of feeling angry when the memory of the offence reoccurs. It goes no further than the counsel to decide to forgive and to choose to minister. The problem of bitter feelings remains untouched. Larry Craver. Counsel to forget an offence Counsel to forget an offence fails to advance our understanding of forgiveness and is also discouraging. If taken literally, our counsel insists that either we damage the memory storage of our brains or we introduce selective amnesia through the process of pathological repression. Of course, no one is recommending these absurd remedies. Larry Crabb. The key to forgetting an offending event is a re-evaluation of the event until it is seen as not especially important to one's purposes. Bitterness will give way to disappointment, which is acceptable if the firm decision to forgive is accompanied by spirit-led meditation on the truth that needs are fully met in Christ. Larry Crabb. Sin is not a distance, it is a turning of our gaze in the wrong direction. Simone Veal. Questions. What have you learned from this post? What have you learned as you've listened to this or read it? Number two, does God forget? Is a challenging question to how we view ourselves and how we have fashioned a view of what God is like. How has your view of what God is like changed over time? Three, what would it be like to have a clean slate? What would it take to offer others a clean slate? Here's an exercise. Take one of the quotes above and journal a response to it. I hope you found this helpful. And if you want to email me or talk further about this particular post, it's barry@turningthepage.co.nz. Hey, and thanks for listening. And I hope it's challenged you in so many different ways. Okay, bye.